This is Savages in the Box.
I want you to feel us.
Now here's Chris Carlin.
Yo, amigos, what's going on? Yankees dropped the series finale in Philadelphia 5-4 to the Phils, and they end up with a split of the four-game series. Welcome to Savages in the Box. I am the aforementioned Chris Carlin. And the Yankees have a real problem on their hands 12 games into the season. Is this panicking? No, it is not panicking. But it is simply looking at a question that I have a feeling over the next 48 games we are consistently going to be looking to answer. And that is, who beyond Gerrit Cole and Masahiro Tanaka can they truly depend on to start games, to win games? Think about this for a second. After Jordan Montgomery's four-inning outing on Thursday night, who exactly do you feel great about if the Yankees were in, oh, let's say, the first round of these newly revamped MLB playoffs? And they're playing an eight seed, yes, but they somehow drop one of the first two games. And you're all of a sudden looking at a game three. Who are you turning to? You're turning to an opener, I guess. Maybe you're doing the smarter thing and leaving Gerrit Cole to the third game. But when you look at it, there are no definitive answers here. And I know there are deficiencies all over the league. But let me run a stat by you that is kind of mind-blowing with what's happened. For Yankees starting pitchers not named Gerrit Cole, and I'm not including the openers here because that would skew the numbers even further, they are averaging 3 1/3 innings per start and have a collective ERA of 8.10. Holy crap. I mean, that is an astounding number. Now, yeah, you still have Tanaka who is working his way back, and maybe his number would be a little bit skewed considering he only threw 50 pitches his last time out. All right, that's fine, but you can't make excuses for everybody else. You can't make excuses for James Paxton. If you want to sit there and assume that he's going to be that guy based on his postseason last year, okay, but I don't see that guy. I haven't seen him yet. Maybe we'll see him on Sunday. But I don't feel remotely good about Paxton, especially where he is coming back from this back surgery. It doesn't feel like they rushed him, but it feels like it's still a problem. And I think that's why they're getting him all this extra rest. But I don't feel great about Jordan Montgomery. What's fair to expect? I mean, maybe the rest of this regular season, he goes out there and he builds himself up and he just kind of is working his way back through these 12 starts. Okay, that's a luxury that the Yankees probably have, but I still don't know. When the chips are down, will you be able to rely on him as a third option for the Yankees in the postseason? I don't know that at all. Jay Happ? I don't even think we can put him in any kind of conversation right now about it. So this is what I'm talking about. Let's go back to Thursday night for a second. Montgomery gave up the five runs in four innings, including three of which that came in the first inning off the bat of JT Realmuto. Remember JT Realmuto? He's a guy that just a couple of years ago, the Yankees were rumored to be discussing with the Marlins, but quickly ended that discussion when it also included Gary Sanchez. We're going to discuss that a little bit later on and whether or not that was the way to go. Realmuto's three-run bomb got the Phillies out to the lead that they would never relinquish. So, Jordan Montgomery, what was the problem?
Changeup was a little inconsistent. I think it was my best pitch for sure. Curveball wasn't there. Hung one to Realmuto that really hurt me, and I either had a really good inning or a really bad inning. Couple innings we were kind of soft, and then the innings that I actually attacked guys, we had pretty good results. So it is early, but I do hate losing, so gonna do whatever thing I can to be ready for when I get the ball in 5 days.
So it's just the trend that continues with the struggling starting pitching right now, and you've got Tanaka to open up the series in Tampa. he probably is only going to be good for somewhere around 65 pitches. And you've got a doubleheader on Saturday, and then you've got Paxton on Sunday. This is a theme and a problem that is developing, even though they are as deep as they are in the bullpen. What's Aaron Boone seeing here?
The way our roster's constructed, you know, it does allow us to have some couple more arms in the bullpen. Nothing beats several outings from your starters that give you length that really kind of preserve and set everyone up down there in that pen. And obviously a couple guys we're working back and Massa building him up, hoping to get Paxton rolling like we know he's capable of. So on the long haul, we got to do a little better job of that.
Not a little, a lot. And I know it's early. And I've said that a couple of times already. I don't care. Because this wasn't supposed to be a problem. This was supposed to be a problem that was already solved. But the Paxton injury has done much more damage than you would have anticipated. Because it has thrown into question how much they're going to be able to rely upon him once they reach the postseason. I'll tell you. It's going to be interesting over the next several weeks to see if James Paxton is going to be healthy enough or anybody else emerges. I would not say I'm optimistic at the moment about the situation. Right now, I would feel best if I were the Yankees with going with an opener in one of those first two games in a potential three-game series and try to get home with that and leave Gerrit Cole for a game three. It's early to be talking about it. That's fine. But we all know that when it comes to the Yankees, it's never too early to be talking about it. Gary Sanchez, let's discuss him for a moment. So he snapped out of it with a two-run homer that brought the Yankees to within 5-4, opposite field shot, and later on popped out. But there seemed to be some encouraging signs that would lead you to believe that maybe he's not all that far off. Here's Boone, who has no trouble believing, based on the past, that he's going to be just fine.
His track record and how talented I know that he is as a hitter, you know, he's certainly had his struggles and you know, really struggling with his timing and stuff. I thought all night tonight, even again, a couple of his strikeouts, the pop up there to end the game, obviously the homer the other way. He's certainly not where he wants to be or where he needs to be, but hopefully, you know, he's starting to make those baby steps to get back and to be in the presence we know he is.
And they've had the luxury of not needing him to be how good he can be offensively, because they have been scoring a ton of runs and they could certainly weather the storm for a little while if he's going through a slump. As we have discussed at length, those slumps just can't be a month and a half or 2 months or season long like they have been in the past for Sanchez. Hit 34 home runs last year, but don't forget, he also hit just .186. Now, the one thing that the Yankees are really going out of their way to point out is how much better defensively Sanchez has played. You've heard Gerrit Cole praise him quite a bit. You heard Aaron Boone talk about the fact that he hasn't let it affect his play behind the plate this year. So that's encouraging because it's a maturation process, right? There have been plenty of times in the past few years when he has gone through these slumps where you wouldn't necessarily say he hasn't taken it into the field with him. I think there have been times where he has, but I think it's pretty clear that there is a much bigger trust in his defensive abilities and his abilities to call a game, be on the same page with a pitcher this season. And the guy that's having a big influence on that is Gerrit Cole, because he has been as vocal as he has about what a good job Sanchez is doing behind the plate. I don't think it's just pumping him up. I think he has been pleasantly surprised with how that has worked out so far, and that will go a long way with some of his teammates. Fact remains about Sanchez. We all know what he's capable of doing in terms of the power in his game. The question is just whether or not he's ever going to be able to do it all consistently and be a more consistent offensive player. And when you look across the diamond at JT Realmuto, all right, the power numbers might be a little bit less, but he's a much better overall hitter. He drove in more runs than Sanchez did last year. Real Muto would have been a better choice for the Yankees, if you really want to look back on it, in my estimation. Had they been presented with that deal, if that was straight on the table, we will make a deal, Sanchez for Real Muto, even though he's a free agent after this year, I would have made that deal 2 years ago, knowing what we know now. He's a better defensive catcher. That's not close. And he was the best player on the field Thursday night. And yes, Aaron Judge was not in the lineup, but he did play like the best player on the field. That's what it looked like. All right, let's get some of your reactions. And to put the question out there on Twitter, at Chris Carlin, at C-H-R-I-S-C-A-R-L-I-N. And the question was simply this. If you had it to do over again, when you go back a couple of years, there were discussions about JT Realmuto and the possibility of him ending up on the Yankees or the Mets for that matter. There were a lot of different machinations of a potential trade discussed, but from the Yankee perspective, it was, in essence, Gary Sanchez ending up in Florida and JT Realmuto potentially ending up with the Yankees. If you had the opportunity to go back and do that, knowing what you know now, would you trade Gary Sanchez for JT Realmuto? So here were some of the responses. At GeorgeLR_8 on Twitter, no, Gary Sanchez has been the greatest hitting catcher ever. Players go through a slump. It's baseball and it happens. Okay, I think with hyperbole right out of the gate, perhaps we could just dial it back a little bit on the greatest hitting catcher ever. He was doing a lot of impressive things. He's hit 30 home runs twice. That's obviously got a lot behind it. But I also look at Sanchez and the inconsistency, and that's what drives you nuts. Joe Filaramo on Twitter. How about because Realmuto is a tremendous defender and a baseball hitting machine, while Sanchez can't hit the broadside of Yankee Stadium and is a passed ball machine? I don't think it's fair to call Sanchez a passed ball machine anymore. I think he has improved defensively, but you can't look at JT Realmuto and value defense at that position like you do and value everything that you do at the catching spot. Even though Sanchez has been better, Realmuto is a very, very good offensive player, but a superb defensive player. At Nelson Chase 31, but the Yankees are paying Gary $500,000 while JT's making $10 million, due a huge contract after this season, so no-brainer, Gary Sanchez for the win. All right, I get that. And at the time, you had a couple of more years of control of Sanchez, but you did for JT as well. This is more positioning it prior to the 2019 season when it was talked about. Scott Galanka on Twitter. The only answer is yes. He is the best catcher in baseball in reference to Realmuto. Look, I think JT Realmuto is a fantastic catcher and a very good offensive player. He has proven to be a more consistent offensive player than Sanchez. He drove in 83 runs last year. Sanchez drove in 77. And remember, he only hit 186 last season. That's remarkably bad. That's a Chris Davis type number. Samori Benjamin on Twitter. No way. Gary has given me big reason to believe in him during his time in Pinstripes, and I still believe in him despite his struggles. Fair enough. And there's always going to be a sentiment to the guy that came up through your organization and to want to see that guy succeed above all else and above going outside to get somebody else. Nicholas Miola, right now I would trade him for Ron Hassey. I was always a Butch Weiniger or Matt Noakes guy myself. Dave Rosenthal, yes. And if there's not a trade, then sign Realmuto after the season. All the talk that Sanchez was the best hitter on the team really seems to be BS. Tired of waiting for him to wake up. The truth is they haven't really had to wait for him to wake up so far this year when you factor in what everybody else has done offensively, save for Gleyber Torres. They haven't missed his bat very much at all. The real question becomes, what is Sanchez going to be worth then on the trade market? Because the Yankees have to be able to get something in return that would make sense for them to then turn around and sign Real Muto to a big deal. E.L. Sasher, 2 more years of team control plus 2 years younger. So no, unless they were throwing in a pitcher, I don't think that was going to be happening at the time. And finally, you have to love this guy's name. At Yankee Savages, this is not a debate. Absolutely. Gleyber Torres continuing to struggle. Wore the collar again on Thursday night, 0 for 4, and his average now down to 132. Yankees fortunate that that has not killed them because everybody else has hit outside of Sanchez. Now, Aaron Judge, he did not start the game. He did pinch hit in the game in the eighth inning in an opportunity against Hector Neris, the Phillies closer. He struck out on a nasty slider that ended a potential rally for the Yankees. DJ LeMahieu was also out of the starting lineup. Boone said that he was just giving them both a little opportunity to get a breather, considering the long stretch that they have coming up in front of them. LeMahieu also did pinch hit and, of course, did what LeMahieu does. He got a base hit. That was in the ninth inning when the Yankees did threaten. Masahiro Tanaka, as we said, probably somewhere between 65 to 70 pitches. He said through his interpreter before the game that he should be able to go well north of 50. We'll see how that plays out. Roster moves before the game. It came early this morning. The news did. Actually happened after the game on Wednesday night. As we said, the rosters had to go from 30 to 28. So following the game on Wednesday, the Yankees sent down Miguel Andujar along with Tyro Estrada and Nick Nelson to Scranton, and they called back Nick Trupiano to be another reliever in their bullpen. I got to tell you, the Andujar thing, I understand it completely because he's not a guy that can go a long time between at-bats. He doesn't look to me to be a Mike Tauchman kind of player where if he's not playing, you can put him in there and he's going to get a couple of hits. I mean, Tauchman is very comfortable in that role, but Andujar certainly does not look that way. And for Aaron Boone, asked that question by Andy Martino of SNY after the game, can he be that kind of player? The response, tepid.
I don't know. There's no question. That's a challenging role, and especially for a younger player that's played regularly his entire life. And like you said, coming off a season where you missed, that doesn't mean he can't. That doesn't mean, you know, you don't have some success in that role and you kind of find yourself a little bit. We've seen that. You know, we saw it last year with different guys. You know, Tauchman, you know, was an everyday guy coming up through the system, and guys for whatever reason at different times click in that kind of a role, or you have some success and all of a sudden now you learn how to kind of parlay that, and you learn from that success and some of the failures you have in how to kind of survive and thrive in that role. So I wouldn't say it's out of the question, but it is a challenge.
I just don't see it long-term with the Yankees at this point with Miguel Andujar. I honestly have the feeling that come August 31st, if they are out there shopping for a starting pitcher, that Andujar is going to be the centerpiece of any deal that they are able to make because he's an everyday player. Does he look to you like he's somebody that would be comfortable coming off the bench? I mean, he was right in the mix a couple of years ago for Rookie of the Year. You may as well cash in on somebody like that to help you out in the short term or even potentially for the next year or two in a deal because it does not look like he's going to make any kind of an impact on the Yankees this season. Lastly, you saw after the third inning that Aaron Boone went out to talk to the umpires. It was about the fans that were outside of Citizens Bank Park who were blowing an air horn every time a pitch was coming into the Yankees. Boone explained, look, this situation is more like golf right now with the way things are with no fans. So it is going to just serve as more of a distraction than it normally would. But the problem is they can't do anything about it. Those are people that were outside the ballpark. Pitching for the weekend, it's going to be Masahiro Tanaka for the Yankees on Friday night. Last season against the Rays, went 2-0 in four starts with an ERA of just 1.59. He'll face Blake Snell, who is, of course, the outstanding young lefty for the Rays. Just 3-6 lifetime against the Yankees in 16 starts, an ERA of 4.41. Then on Saturday, you've got the doubleheader. In game one, it'll be Gerrit Cole against Tyler Glasnow. Game two will be an opener for the Yankees. The Rays have not announced who will pitch that game. And then on Sunday, of course, James Paxton. We will all be paying attention to that velocity to see if it ramps up even a little bit higher than it was last week at a career low 91.5 miles an hour. On his fastball, he will be facing Charlie Morton for the Rays. All right, that does it for this edition of Savages in the Box. This is Carlin. Have an awesome weekend. We'll see you Monday morning. I'm out.
Savages in the Box is available on the ESPN app and from Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.